المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق، لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون، فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Respected elders, jama'ah, once again, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. All thanks and praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest peace, blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family and upon his companions, and upon those who strive to emulate his lifestyle till the end of time. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the bounties that he had bestowed upon us, for the ability to be able to sit in the masjid, to be present on the day of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our iman. We make dua unto him to allow us to live lives that is true to the iman, and to cause us to die in a state of iman, and to resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah, and allow us admittance into Jannatul Firdaus because of our iman and through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. It is also that time of the year where uppermost in our minds are the Hujjaj, our friends, our families, our acquaintances who are leaving for Hajj. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them all a Hajj makbul and a Hajj mabrur, and grants them safe passage and brings them back safely to us. Ameen, ya Rabbal Alameen. So we are in the month of Dhul Qa'dah, and it is of the months of Hajj, and the month after Dhul Qa'dah is Dhul Hijjah. And just in a few weeks' time, it will be Dhul Hijjah, and the days of Hajj will have dawned upon us. We are hop, skip, and a jump away from Eid, and for the Hujjaj, away from that beautiful days of which Arafah is going to be their pinnacle. And for them to undertake this journey, and for those of us who have undertook this journey, and for those who will undertake this journey, it is important to understand that the luxury of being able to perform the Hajj, being able to establish this last pillar of Islam, is one that was not easily won by the Muslims. It is one that came through literally blood, sweat, and tears. And today in this Jumu'ah, I want to focus on an incident that happened in the month of Dhul Qa'dah. Today, I think, is the 9th of Dhul Qa'dah, if I'm not mistaken. This incident happened around the 4th of Dhul Qa'dah. So this week would have been an anniversary of this event that happened in the 6th year of the Hijrah. In the 6th year after the Hijrah, this event happened, which means that Makkah had not yet been conquered. The conquest of Makkah had not yet taken place, for that only happened in the 10th year after the Hijrah. This point, the 6th year after the Hijrah, this was in the middle of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's stay in Madinatul Munawwara. This is a period of time after which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had gone through the difficulty of dealing with the situation in Medina in order to bring about unity, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had survived an attempt on his life, when the battle of Badr had been fought, where the revenge battle for the battle of Badr, the battle of Uhud, had taken place, and the Muslims had suffered heavy, heavy casualties. Not a defeat, because if it was a defeat, they would have been obliterated, but they lived to tell the tale. And then after that, the siege of Medina, which is the battle of the trench. So it was after a very difficult time which the Muslims also survived, and which through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had somehow weakened the Meccan, the Quraysh opposition. Somehow it brought about a despondency in them, because they had mustered all the forces that they could, and they thought that they were going to crush the Muslims, and they failed in that. So there was a despondency. After we have done everything to be able to crush the Muslims, Medina still stands. The Prophet ﷺ is still preaching, and Islam is still on the move. It was at that time that the Prophet ﷺ had a dream in Madinatul Munawwara. And he dreamt that he was performing tawaf and making umrah of the house. And he dreamt that his companions were with him. And they had completed the manasik, and they were cutting their hair and they were shaving their heads. And this dream brought about a joy in the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. لأن الرؤية الأنبياء حق. Because the dreams of the Anbiya are not only dreams. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesizing and showing to them things that will take place and that will happen in the future. So the Prophet took delight in this. He took joy in this. But Mecca was still under the control of the Quraysh. It was still a very difficult time. The opposition and the treachery and everything that came along with that, the hatred and the anger, was still there for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So how was this going to come about? Anyway, the Prophet shared this dream with the Sahaba, and he shared with them his intention to go perform the Umrah. He shared with them the intention that they are going to march on to Mecca, and they are going to perform the Umrah in Mecca. This was the sixth year. The Prophet ﷺ, along with 1,400 other people, they walked and they reached the place known as what? Bir Ali. The Hujjaj and the Mu'tamirin, you all know this very, very well, because you've been there and you've put on and you've donned your ihram there. That time there was nothing, it was just a barren place. They stopped there. The Prophet ﷺ put on his ihram, the companions put on their ihram. And then the intention was that they were going to set off to Mecca. They took with them some animals that they were intending to sacrifice in Makkatul Mukarramah. This doesn't mean that there was complete peace in Madinatul Munawwara. No, it was still volatile. In fact, when they were there, they got word that some of the tribes wanted to attack them. The Prophet ﷺ made a decision, leave these ones, we are heading to Mecca. And then even on that journey, it was an unknown journey. They were unsure of how this was going to play out, because they were marching into the jaws of an enemy that wanted to destroy them. So it was a very uncertain time for them. But the Prophet ﷺ was sure that good was needed to come from this. Otherwise he would not have undertaken this journey. He would not have made his intention. They marched on. The Prophet ﷺ, as a matter of safety and caution, took with him a detachment of soldiers. And they went ahead before him, so that if the worst comes to the worst, then there is at least a detachment of soldiers with them. And then if a battle needs to ensue, then at least they can take arms. Because as you know, once you're in your ihram, the last thing that you do is you're carrying arms and things to go into battle. It's a journey of peace. It's a journey of safety. It's a journey where you're going to make tawaf and sa'i for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they made preparations. Nevertheless, word reached the Meccans that the Muslims are coming. And they sent Khalid bin Walid out. They sent Khalid bin Walid, the same one who gave them a tough time at the Battle of Uhud. The same one who turned the Battle of Uhud in the favor of Quraysh. They sent him out again with 200 soldiers. They sent him out and they said, stop Muhammad in his tracks, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stop him in his tracks. Don't allow him to come into Mecca. This was against custom. You allowed anyone and everyone to come into Mecca, because Mecca was the place of pilgrimage, even in the time of Jahiliyyah. Despite the fact that it was the Jahiliyyah, it was a pilgrimage of Jahiliyyah, still the doors of Mecca needed to remain open. It was unprecedented that they would send out a detachment to stop the Prophet ﷺ in his tracks. The Prophet was heading for a place known as Tan'im, You know this also, those of you who go. Those of you who don't, inshallah, when you enter Mecca, you will also enter through Tan'im. A little bit more modern, but Tan'im is still there. The Prophet was going to enter through Tan'im, but because of this hostility and because Khalid bin Walid was heading towards them, they took another route to the west, to Jeddah's side, and they decided to encamp at an unknown place known as Hudaybiyah. Unknown is just a piece of land. Piece of land is known as Hudaybiyah. They went there and they settled there. Now is the conundrum. The conundrum is there's a political situation that is playing out. It can go one of two ways. It can be a full-on battle where people are going to lose their lives, Muslims and non-Muslims. And there can be either conquest or there can be failure. The other situation is we can actually go in and we can go perform the Umrah. Through some type of negotiation, it might happen. The other possibility is that we leave without having performed any Umrah. These were the scenarios that were playing out. They sent a man by the name of Urwa to the Prophet ﷺ to find out his intentions. The Prophet said, we came for Umrah. We didn't come here to fight. If we came to fight, you can see we are carrying meager weapons, just sufficient to protect us from harm. But we are not coming here battle ready. Because the Prophet sent the detachment to a place known as Ya'jaj. He said, don't come with us. You, that regiment was sent to another place. We're going on Umrah now. So the regiment, you can wait. So they said, we're not coming here to fight. And this Urwa, when he saw how the Sahaba was interacting with the Prophet ﷺ, when it was time that the Prophet took wudu, he saw the Sahaba coming to the Prophet and catching the water that he took wudu with and they would rub it on their faces. When the Prophet ﷺ drank something from a water skin, he saw they would go and they wouldn't want to put their mouths from where the same place was where the mouth of the Prophet was. When he saw the respect and the awe that they held the Prophet ﷺ in, subhanallah, Urwa himself, he was completely affected by this in a good way. He went back to the Meccans. He told them, I haven't seen kings and Caesars being treated better than how Muhammad ﷺ is being treated by his followers. I am of the opinion that we should let them come and make the Umrah. Because it is not our way to prevent people from making the Umrah. But there's a lot of history, there's a lot of bad blood. It's not just a question of let them come in. You know the history. I told you the history now. And besides Uhud, Badr and the Battle of the Trench, there was a 13-year history of oppression and persecution. Don't forget that. A 13-year history of oppression and persecution where people lost their lives. Sumayya, the first martyr, she lost her life in the most brutal way. So we're talking about heavy, heavy things here that is sitting on the hearts of these people. The Prophet ﷺ, they say, sends Uthman. Uthman, you have some connections in Makkah. Go speak to your connections. Maybe you can somehow negotiate something. Uthman doesn't come back. Where's Uthman? They capture Uthman. They don't want to release Uthman. And they play tricks with the Prophet. They send a word to the Prophet ﷺ. Tell him Uthman has been killed. News comes to the camp at Hudaybiyah that Uthman has been killed. It is uncertain. They don't see a body. They don't know. They cannot verify. But now this changes the game completely. The Prophet ﷺ calls the companions together. And there they take a bay'ah. They take a bay'ah that if these people had killed our emissary Uthman, then we are going to show them no quarter. That when we enter Makkah, we will take heads off shoulders. And they all took this pledge with the Prophet ﷺ. And this pledge is known as Bay'atul Ridwan. Where everyone was willing to sacrifice themselves, even though they came for the purpose of Umrah. They were prepared to take this niyyah and change it into the niyyah of the defense of Islam and Muslims and take Makkah. When the Meccans heard of the Bay'atul Ridwan, that the Prophet along with 1400 people is prepared to sacrifice themselves now, They became very nervous and they sent a negotiator. The negotiator was a very shrewd guy. That time he was a guy, afterwards he became a Sahaba. His name was Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr, he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He wanted, every time he was a very cocky type of a character. When he speak to the Prophet, he wanted to take the Prophet by the beard. And then he wanted to take him again like this by the beard, and one Sahaba just hit him. That's a side story, but I'm just giving you an idea of how cocky this guy was. What type of a negotiator he was. At the end of the day, they negotiated. To cut a long story short, the terms that were agreed upon is the following. The first thing that they agreed upon, let me give it to you in the order, inshallah. First they wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Right? He said, what is this ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? Right, take it out. Allah is familiar to us, but these things of what these other names that you people are talking about, we don't know this. Take it out. They took it out. Then they said, this is an armistice. This is an agreement between Muhammad Rasulullah and Sahal bin Amr, the envoy of Mecca. He said, what is this Rasulullah? If we thought that you are the messenger of Allah, we would have all been with you. You are Muhammad bin Abdullah. Take it out. They took it out. They said, this is an agreement between Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Between Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, and Suhail ibn Amr. The first thing that they agreed upon, and it became public knowledge, all the Sahaba were there listening, was that there is going to be an armistice between the two parties, and there will be no fighting, there will be cessation of fighting for the next 10 years. No fighting for the next 10 years. This indeed is a big deal. Because now we are already on the 16th year of hostilities. Now to reach an agreement eventually between Mecca, who wasn't weakened yet to the extent that they couldn't fight. In fact, they were still on a very strong wicket. So for them to say there will be no fighting for the next 10 years and to agree to that was a very big win for the Muslims. The other one, any person who wishes to join the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, any tribes that wishes to go into an alliance with the Muslims, they can go into an alliance with the Muslims. And any tribe who wishes to go into an alliance with the Quraysh, they can go into an alliance with the Quraysh. No problem. You got freedom of movement now. You can negotiate. You can sign treaties. You can make deals. You make your deals and we make our deals. The people who make deals with you, we will leave them alone. And the people who make deals with us, you leave them alone. It's a good one. The third one was a bit of a bitter pill to swallow. If anyone from Mecca, any one of our children, or anyone who became Muslim here from amongst us here, from Mecca, wishes to run away and they want to come to Medina, you need to send them back. And if anyone in Medina of your people, they get tired of this pious life of making salah and having to do good and they want to go rock and roll in Medina, then you have to leave them to go back to Mecca, then you have to leave them to go back to Mecca. We won't send them back. The Sahaba were looking at one another. What type of an agreement is this? The Prophet ﷺ agreed. The irony is, a person by the name of Abu Jandal, he escaped out of Mecca when he heard that the Muslims were in Hudaybiyah. He escaped under the clutches of his father. And he joined the Muslims at Hudaybiyah. And guess who Abu Jandal is? He's the prime negotiator, Suhail bin Amr, his son. He said, and you will start this. You will start showing your loyalty to this agreement by giving back my son Abu Jandal. The Prophet said, I don't want to give back Abu Jandal. The Prophet wanted to keep Abu Jandal. Abu Jandal was feeling oppressed. He was feeling the weight of the kufr in Mecca on him and his inability to practice his religion. He wanted to be with his brothers in Medina. The Prophet lost that round. And the Prophet said, We're sending Abu Jandal back. But remember, there's a peace agreement in place. 10 years of peace. So Abu Jandal is going back to Makkah, but he's going back to a different Makkah. So don't feel too sad about this. And later on anyway, Abu Jandal ran away anyway. Because he thought, I'm not going to have none of this staying with this kuffar here in Makkah. He went to go stay somewhere else. In fact, everyone who didn't want to be in Makkah, they left Makkah and they went to go set up a rebel camp somewhere on the coast there on the Red Sea somewhere. And they became a thorn in the side of the Quraysh eventually. Maybe I need to just mention this to the extent that Abu Sufyan went to Medina the year after and said to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please just go fetch your people there on the coast and bring them to Medina. So that one worked against them. Eventually that one worked against them. The fourth part of the treaty was, okay, that was fourth and fifth. This year, your people can't make Umrah. Your people can't make Umrah. They're at Hudaybiyah. If you must just climb one of the hills there and look around the corner, then you'll see the Kaaba. The smells of Makkah is in the noses of the Sahaba who lived in Makkah for many years. And they're around the corner from their families and their homes. And they're around the corner from the Baytullah. And they are wearing their ihram. Ask any Haji who's sitting in this masjid here. Ask any of the Mu'tamirin who's sitting in this masjid here. If you put on your ihram, what is on your mind? Umrah. If you put on your ihram for Hajj, what is on your mind? Hajj. The last thing on your mind is that you're going to take this ihram off without having completed the Umrah. You are focused. You've got nothing else on your mind. You left behind your family, your friends, your wealth and everything. And you're going to worship Allah. And they're saying, no Umrah this year. No Umrah this year. But next year you can come back for Umrah. Next year we will allow you 3 days. Uninterrupted, we will allow you. In fact, the leadership will leave Makkah. And you can have the freedom of the city of Makkah for 3 days and you can perform your Umrah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam agreed. It was a difficult pill to swallow for the Sahaba. The Sahaba were questioning one another. They were talking about this agreement. They were talking about the fact that are we not on the truth? Are they not on falsehood? Because it was apparent to them that, or apparently it looked like they were the losers of this agreement. It looked like they were getting the short end of the stick. Little did they know what the Prophet ﷺ in his wisdom knew. And it was a test of resolve for them. Because so easily they could have said at that point in time, they could have said, are we following a man who just goes to the whims of our enemy? And they could have rebelled. And they could have formed a camp. And they could have gone on their own way and done their own thing. Like so many of the people are doing today who don't follow leadership. If the leadership is just saying one thing wrong or just going one wrong direction, we are unforgiving and we are unrelenting in making them bad. As if human beings don't make mistakes. We make mistakes all the time. And sometimes it is not a mistake. Sometimes it is people's inability to see the wisdom and the hikmah and the long-term vision of decisions that need to be taken now. We think we are living in difficult times. We might not know that these are maybe the best times for Islam when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's long-term plan for the ummah. So we cannot wallow about and feel sorry for one another. We cannot be sad about the state of the ummah and do nothing in our own capacity to try to bring about a change and positivity for the ummah. This just might be the best of time. We might just not be the best of people to recognize that this is the best of times. We might just be the people that is always seeing the wrong side, that the cup is half empty. We might just be that pessimistic ummah who just sees nifaq and hypocrisy and treachery. And we don't see all the good that is happening, the growth that is happening, subhanallah. And this is the lesson, one of the lessons of Dhul-Qa'dah. One of the lessons of this month of Dhul-Qa'dah and this incident is that if things seem to be in a way that they are not advantageous to you, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have lost. There's a plan. If you had made your intention, if you had set your vision, and you are walking that course with sincerity, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant you victory. And the victory is going to come in a manner that either you're going to understand or in a manner that you are not going to understand. But victory is inevitable. Sometimes it is the arrogance of man to think that we alone possess the ability to engineer a future for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the planner, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate engineer of futures and of societal frameworks for now and for the future. We are but pawns in that doing our duty. Subhanallah. The Prophet agreed to everything, to the extent that Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is he not the messenger of Allah? Yes. Or we will be shaving our heads and we will be cutting our heads? Yes. Abu Bakr said, Ya Umar, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said so and it will be so. If it's not going to be now, it is going to happen. This was the resolve of Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr always comes to the party when he needs to. Abu Bakr who? As-Siddiq. The one who, when the Prophet ﷺ says something, he is right by his side, confirming that which he is saying, standing by him, a loyal ally like you won't find anywhere. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Even Umar questioned, and it is no weakness. It is the weakness of the human psyche that Umar questioned. And if we are thinking about how the Sahaba could have questioned all of this. Think, put ourselves in their shoes. And you got on your ihram. When the Prophet ﷺ told them and called them together, he said, shave your heads and slaughter your animals and come out of your ihram because we are heading home. No one wanted to do it. The Prophet ﷺ went into his tent. He told Aisha, he told Salma, I gave the people a directive and they are not following. Salma told him, Ya Rasulullah, you go out and cut your head and slaughter your animals. And they will follow suit. The Prophet did that. And then slowly, slowly everyone started to do it. And slowly, slowly they realized that obedience to the Prophet ﷺ is more important than what they are thinking of the situation now. Because following the directives of Allah and following the directives of Muhammad ﷺ is going to give you a good result in the end. Even though it looks like it is in your disfavor now. لَقَدَ صَدَقَ اللَّهِ is revealed there. Surah Al-Fath, the verse is revealed. لَقَدَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ Allah had spoken the truth and had shown the truth to His messenger. When He showed him in a true dream, لَتَدَخُلُنَّ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ that you will enter into Masjid Al-Haram. آمِنِين You will enter in a way of safety. مُحَلِّقِينَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَمُقَصِّرِينَ You will come out of your ihram. Inshallah. It says, you will enter لَتَدَحُلُونَ الْمَجْرَ الْحَرَامِ Inshallah. You will enter مَجْرُ الْحَرَامِ if Allah wills. Aminin. Cutting your hair, shaving your hair. لَا تَخَافُونَ And you won't fear anything. It will be a situation and a scenario of peace. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what you are doing by signing this agreement and by entering into this pact at Hudaybiyah. He knows the benefit of this treaty and Allah knows and you do not know. فَعَلِمَ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُوا فَجَعَلَ مِن دُونِ ذَٰلِكَ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا Just wait. A victory is close at hand. A victory is close at hand. These are the verses that is revealed there for the Sahaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the strength of revelation. And with that, they arm themselves with this revelation and with these verses. And they arm themselves by reaffirming their obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they leave. And they leave. To cut a long story short, they did come back the next year. There's so much that we need to talk to about this. On their way back, Allah reveals another verse. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Verily indeed, inna fatahna, we have granted you a victory. Fatham mubina, a clear victory. Later on, after the conquest of Mecca and everything, the entire Arabia was under control of the Muslims. Urwa radiallahu anh, he said, all of you young people, you think that the year of the conquest was the year that we marched into Mecca. He says, the real year of the conquest was in the sixth year when we weren't allowed to go into Mecca. That was the year that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is the year of the conquest. The year that we were on our back foot. The year that it looked like we were losing. Because of those agreements, time doesn't allow us to show how each of the things that they agreed to work to the advantage of the Muslims. They broke this. 20 months after the agreement, they broke this. One of the tribes they were allied to fought. One of the tribes that the Prophet was allied to. The Prophet gave them an ultimatum. Either you pay these people out because you took lives. Either you break ties with this group that you are allied with. Or either we call the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We call it something of the past. In their arrogance, they said, we'll call Hudaybiyah something of the past. This was after the Umrah that they did. We didn't mention that. And that was the opportunity. The Prophet ﷺ, by the way, after they left Mecca, the leadership and the people of foresight in Mecca, they saw something was coming. And they started to become Muslim. They started to become Muslim. People from the leadership, they were entering into the fold like something was happening. They could feel that the climate was going in the direction of the Muslims. So, big guys became Muslim. Abu Sufyan. Do you know what a victory that was? Abu Sufyan became Muslim in that time. Khalid bin Walid. Amr ibn al-As, the one who conquered Egypt. He became Muslim at that time. The Muslims were strengthened to the extent that Allah alone knows. The Prophet mustered an army. And he brought about a unity of force that he marched onto Mecca to the extent that he was going to take Mecca without bloodshed. And that is Amul Fath in the 10th year. The purpose of the Jumu'ah is to show that while we go to the Baytullah and while we have our challenges, we had our challenges of this Nicki Minaj character saying that she's too good to go to Saudi because of their human rights violations and these people not realizing that she's not good enough to come to the holy city, but that's the other kettle of fish. But by hook or by crook, she's not going. Alhamdulillah. I'm saying by hook or by crook, but it is really by the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we are too weak to act, then who acts? If we are too weak to protect, then who protects? If we are too weak to influence and to bring about change, then who will bring about influence and who will bring about change? The one who controls everything. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That one. Maliki yawmiddin. That one. Rabbul Alameen, that is the one. And that is the one we bring our iman in. So brothers, this is a time of hope for us. Don't worry about what is happening in the Middle East too much. Because we can't even effect change here in Rondebosch East. If you still had the power, then I would have told you, yes, worry about it. If you could take a plane there now and go there and sort out the whole problems of the Middle East, I would tell you, get on the next plane. In fact, we would give you the money. We would hire you a jet. But we can't even solve our own problems here. So let us do what? Let us speak the truth. And let us speak about justice. But let us realize that let us not become embroiled in these geopolitical things that is happening so far to the extent that we neglect the work that we are supposed to be doing. Our work here is to build our unity. Our work here is to not let our children go to this Nikki's concerts. Our work here is to get our children out of the brothels, to get them out of the bars, because that is the latest fashion. Our jihad here is with our own families, with our own kids, protecting our own Islam, protecting our own borders. We are guests like they are guests of Allah. We are guests here in this house because we are in the Baytullah, we are in the house of Allah. Allah allows us to be guests every day that we come here. So let us not forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like His assistance is there for them, His assistance is here for us. But we need to reaffirm our commitment in times of difficulty, In times when it seems like everything is going against us, each and every one of us, we need to reaffirm our commitment. Ya Allah, we don't understand your plan. We don't understand how a good future can come from everything that is happening. Everything is looking terrible in Syria, in Israel, in Palestine. It's the world is just a hotbed of confusion. Ya Allah. But we know, Ya Allah, that you are Malikul Muluk, that you are the King of Kings, that you are Al-Makir, you are the ultimate one who plots and plans. Wallahu khayrul makirin, and you are the best of planners. And Ya Allah, we will do what we need to do. It's simple, my brothers. Let us fill the masajid. Let your children learn the Quran. Let them learn the sunnah. Let them learn about justice. Let them learn about speaking truth to power. Let them learn about leaving off the haram. Teach them the dangers of living a life that is a life of wine and swine and dine. Teach them the dangers of that life, because they are being enticed to that. We will lose the battle before we even get on the plane to go for Hajj or Umrah if we are not going to know what we are fighting right here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding and the foresight, inshallah. Forgive me if I went a little bit over time. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا
الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الحمد لله الحمد لله يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا عباد الله وحدوا الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم البدع فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد خسر وغوى وعليكم بالصدق فإن الصدق ينجي والكذب يهلك وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين ولا تقنطوا من رحمة الله فإنه أرحم الراحمين ولا تحبوا الدنيا فتكونوا من الخاسرين ألا وإن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستكمل رزقها فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب وتوكلوا عليه فإن الله يحب المتوكلين ودعوا ربكم فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون، فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم، إنه تعالى جواد كريم، لكم بر رؤوف الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله أوصيكم أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون. يقول الله تعالى في شأن حبيبي: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته، وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله تعالى عنهم وعن الصحابة أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والمشركين، ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين. اللهم اجعل بيننا ألفة ومحبة وقرارا، ولا تجعل بيننا نفرة وفتنة وفرارا. ربنا تقبل منا. اللهم اكتب السلامة والصحة والعافية لنا ولعبيدك الحجاج. اللهم اجعل حجهم مبرورا، وسعيهم مشكورا، وذنبهم مغفورا، وعملهم صالحا مقبولا، وتجارة لن تبور. يا نور النور، يا عالم ما في الصدور، أخرجنا يا الله وإياهم من الظلمات إلى النور، يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استووا واستقيموا، استووا اعتدلوا، استووا رحمكم الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا عليهم ولا الضالين. لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق، لتدخلن المسجد الحرام، لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين، محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون، فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
الله أكبر. استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم. والتواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، ونتوب إليك ونسألك توبة ومغفرة وهداية لنا، فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك، يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق، وأعمالنا من الرياء، وألسنتنا من الكذب، وأعيننا من الخيانة، فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور، برحمتك يا